Tech Talk on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hello, and a very warm welcome into Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio. Tech Talk, of course, it's our chance to get together as blind or partially sighted people each week and explore the world of technology. We love to hear from you. You can get in contact in the usual way. It's an email to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. That's T-E-C-H-T-A-L-K at rnib.org.uk. Coming up this week, we'll hear from the visual interpreter service, Aira, about new ways to access the service. We'll also be heading back to Site Village Central to hear about new products from Orbit Research and Seeing Solutions. So plenty to come this time on Tech Talk. Welcome in to our co-hosts, Jackie Brown and Hubert Pavalkovich. Wonderful to have you back. Let's come to each of you and find out what's grabbing your attention in the world of technology. Hubert, what's on your mind?
Apart from purchasing new studio headphones, if you are brave, the public betas are now available for the new Apple operating systems coming up in September. If you fancy playing around and taking a bit of a risk, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And what for you were the highlights in iOS 18?
For me, I'm quite curious. I mean, there's obviously the Apple Intelligence that we've mentioned, but some of the little things that I quite like is some of the activity rings related things, as I use them quite a lot, being able to kind of set different levels of intensity for different days of the week and pause your rings if you're ill, for example, so you don't feel the responsibility of closing them. And then some additions to the journal app, such as writing streaks and things like that, I find quite interesting. And also the ability to get rid of that torch button off my lock screen, because the amount of times someone kind of nudges me and goes, "Sir, your torch is on again."
Ah, okay. Lighten up the world. So tell us about those headphones, Hubert. What's the deal with those?
Well, so I recently realised that the cups on my current headphones, which I currently have the Bose QuietComfort 45s, are starting to wear a bit and leave black marks on the side of my head, which again get pointed out by people kind of at random points. So I decided it's time for, well, a bit of a change. So I bought some new studio headphones, DT990s apparently they are called. I got them recommended by a fellow colleague. So yes, that's my latest technology spend for now.
There's something really nice, isn't there, about cracking out a new fresh pair of headphones and using those for the first time. Jackie Brown, what's on your mind this week?
Okay, so I am waiting on a delivery of the BT Speak, which is the 2024 version of the Braille and Speak, except it's a lot more modern. I'm sure I'll be talking to you all a bit more about that once it arrives. But this week I've been having a battle with customs, because you have to pay import duties for all those kind of things if you order them direct from America, because BT Speak, it stands for Blazy Technologies. They don't have a UK dealer at the moment, so if you want one of these devices, you've got to order it from the States. So I'm having a little bit of a battle with customs, but it's on its way, and I've paid my dues, so we'll just wait and see what happens when it arrives.
Okay, so we will look forward to your review of that, Jackie. Is it still in development, the BT Speak, or is it actually now, you know, commercially available?
Yeah, it's actually readily available now. There's updates to it all the time. It runs on the Linux operating system, and it's, you know, a Braille input device, but not a Braille output device. So, but there's lots of things on it that I'm curious to see, and my temptation got the better of me, I'm afraid.
Well, there you are. So playing in a similar space to the Orbit Speak that we're going to be hearing about coming up on the show a little bit later. So it'd be interesting to get your thoughts comparing those two at some stage. All right, that's it. Jackie, Hubert, thank you very much. Settle in. It's another Tech Talk. Now, existing listeners will be familiar with IRA, the Professional Visual Interpreter Service, where we, as blind or low vision people, can connect online to a sighted agent who can see through your device camera and provide a professional level of visual interpreting about the world around you. And of course, that agent has telemetry about where you are and your profile, so they're really able to provide an exceptional level of service for those of us in employment, education, or just living more independently. Now, this July, IRA have announced a number of new initiatives to build an AI and also to get IRA available on more wearable devices. Well, we felt it would be a great time to welcome back to Connect Radio Everett Bacon, who is the Vice President of Blindness Initiatives at IRA, and also recently elected as second Vice President of the National Federation of the Blind in the United States. Everett, fantastic to have you back with us once again. Always good to catch up. Can you just explain a little bit about what's behind the Build AI initiative and how it aims to enhance IRA's services for blind and partially sighted people?
So hi, Dave. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I always enjoy our chances to talk and connect with the listeners all over the UK. So I want to first start out with Access AI. Access AI is our initial image chat verification AI that, you know, was built along the same lines as some of the others that you've heard out there with Be My AI or Seeing AI or things like that. But this one, ours, Access AI, it uses both the large language models, the ChatGPT from OpenAI, as well as the Google Gemini. But what ours, and we're really proud of this, after you upload a picture or take a quick picture, you get back, you know, a detailed response of what the image is. And while that image many times, you know, accuracy is definitely pretty good, and there are things that get left out, or there are some hallucinations that are made in images. And so we felt it was very important to be able to add and use that human-centered experience that we're very proud of with our visual interpreter, a chance for you to use IRA Verify. And so after you take a picture of the image, there's a button for IRA Verify. You double tap that button, and in a less than a minute, maybe 2 minutes at the most, you get a response back from the visual interpreter that tells you, yes, this picture is accurate, the description is accurate, or it tells you things that it either left out or got wrong or something like that, and that's all done through chat in the app. So the Explorer is not paying for any of that. That's all free of charge. You don't need a subscription to use it. It's not taking any of the 5 minute free part. It's all free all the time in that area, which is really exciting in that part of our Access AI. And we've built in some features that we're very proud of with the Access AI. We've built in verbosity preferences. So you can go into the preferences section. If you like the longer detailed response from the ChatGPT or the AI, you can select that. If you want more of a quicker, you know, down to the nitty gritty type of response, you can choose that. You can also choose your language preference. Like, do you want it more technical language, or do you want it more plain speak language? So it's really kind of neat that we put those things in there. We've also added the ability of being able to upload multiple images, and you can direct the AI to tell you which one of the images is best looking. So if you're not sure, if you've taken several pictures of something and you want to get the best one, the AI can tell you which one had, you know, less blurriness, which one was the most clear, which one had the best accuracy. So that type of thing is really, really neat. And those are some of the things we're really proud of that we've put into our Access AI.
Okay, so Access AI, that's available to everybody now, is it?
It is available to everybody.
Okay, with human verification. So
yep.
The question I have then is, can you explain the concept behind the Build AI initiative and how it aims to enhance the IRIS service for blind and low vision folks?
So the Build AI program is a partnership with a tech company. They do not want to be named. So we're partnering with a tech company, and basically users, explorers, and this is right now United States only. We do hope that we can expand it. We wanted to have it with everyone. These were the stipulations we were kind of put under. The goal of Build AI is basically to see what we could do in the future with AI, whether that be maybe some type of streaming AI that allows you to continuous video, and just kind of see where it goes. We really not sure. And so that kind of the whole process behind this. IRA is very proud of the data that we have. We've always been able to secure that data and keep it private. And so what we've done is this Build AI program is an opt-in only. So you must opt in. And you get to choose which sessions you want to share. We do not and will not share any personal content. So any personal content, like, you know, your medical prescriptions or any kind of financial information or anything personal about you, we will not share. But we're looking at other types of things, like when you're trying to get a description of what's in your pantry or something, other types of things that you use IRA for. We're looking to get that type of data and be able to share that with our partner and kind of see what they can develop with that. So that's kind of what we're looking at, and we're pretty excited about that. We really think it could lead to something special for all IRA users. Once we have something in the future, we will definitely share it with all IRA explorers. It won't just be a US-only type of service that we would provide. We would provide it to everyone.
Okay, so Build AI, right now, it's a US-only program where explorers can share, opt-in to share some of their IRA sessions with the agent to share some of that data to a third party for the purposes of building a future AI service. Have I understood that correctly, yeah?
You have. That is exactly correct, yes.
Right. And how does IRA ensure the privacy and security of participants' data in Build AI?
Well, in Build AI, again, the only data that we are sharing is what the explorers opt in and tell us they want. So every single session, after they are completed their session, they can there's a button where they have 72 hours to say they don't want this shared, or and if they just leave it alone, then it'll be shared. Again, our visual interpreters, if they notice any kind of personal information in the session, that will not be shared. So it's only going to be sessions that explorers opt in, and any session that does not contain any kind of personal information.
Let's talk about wearables. And IRA this month have announced a pilot program with the Meta Ray-Bans and the Arx Vision headset. Can you elaborate a bit on those pilot programs and how they're going to work?
Sure. So right now, when you update your IRA Explorer app, under the More tab, there is a Smart Glasses button that you can tap into, and you can choose which, or if you want multiple glasses, you can choose the Meta Ray-Ban glasses, the Arx glasses, or even the Envision glasses. And The other two, since they're brand new, will take you into a quick survey about the Ray-Ban glasses and about the ARCS unit, and then you would opt in. Now, we're still working out the details of how we're going to go forward with this, but we wanted to get a list of explorers that are ready and that want to use this. And so when we are able to deploy it, we can deploy it quickly. We know that the Meta Ray-Ban glasses have the ability to use WhatsApp as well as Messenger. And so we're exploring ways that we can incorporate WhatsApp and Messenger into our service. And that's kind of how we foresee our vision of how we're going to use this. I will tell you from the visual interpreter end, because I've tried it with my Meta glasses. The visual interpreter has a portrait view only of the screen that they can see through your Meta glasses, and they have a pretty good view portrait mode, but it's not wide angle, so it's not quite as good as it is normally through the phone. But we think, you know, the more we get to be able to manipulate it, maybe we can find other features that can make it even better. But I was able to navigate with a visual interpreter the streets of Palo Alto in San Francisco, walk down and find a bar and kind of go and do my thing. So it was really fun. It was great. And I was wearing the glasses. And so we know that it can be done. We're just trying to figure out how to deploy it best to where it does work with our app. We did have a meeting with Meta. We really would prefer a way to roll out Aira as part of the Meta universe. And so it would work seamlessly, and we wouldn't have to worry about WhatsApp or Messenger. And that's another goal that we have and what we'd like to see happen, much like you see with the Envision glasses now. So stay tuned for that. As soon as we're able to deploy this, we will. But we're pretty excited about where this can go. The ARCS unit is a little different, because the ARCS unit is ready to go in the Android operating system. So I foresee that anyone that has the ARCS unit using an Android phone will be able to get going on that fairly quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if it's ready to go before the end of the month. So that we will see happen. The iPhone, they have set up, ARCS has worked out where you can have the iPhone 15 model. They have a connector that connects through USB-C that can allow through the iPhone. They're not ready to release that yet, but they're getting close. And so we feel like we'll be able to deploy that when they are ready as well. So that's pretty exciting. The ARCS unit is an awesome piece of equipment, and we think it has a lot of possibilities for explorers. And we know how hard RNIB's partnership with ARCS has been, and so we're proud of that, and we want to be a part of that.
Right, and I'm certainly playing with all this stuff. but just for those who perhaps aren't Aira users or those that haven't tried any of these wearable cameras, can you just explain a little bit about what you expect the benefits to be for users of getting on these platforms?
Well, sure. Wearables are where we've always wanted to go. Aira attempted to use wearables back when we first started. The technology wasn't quite there. We did the best we could with making it work, but it really was not something we were on the cutting edge. We were really proud of where we were at, but it wasn't sustainable at the time for us, and so that's why we discontinued the old Horizon glasses that we had through our wearables, and we knew that wearables were going to get to a point where we could deploy Aira on many different wearables. And that's kind of what we're seeing now happen and explode into the marketplace. And the neat thing is they're affordable. And so We're very much excited about that. We don't want to limit, so we're going to look to try to deploy Aira on as many wearables as possible. And so, you know, look for more of that to come. Having a wearable camera so you don't, so your hands are free, I mean, I think that's pretty self-explanatory on how the benefits of that and being able to move about seamlessly in society. And you know, the whole idea of blending into society is important to blind people. And we understand that. I understand that, and it's very important to me. And so I think that's why wearables, you're going to see that's the direction we're going to go. And having, you know, away from the phone camera will cease to exist, and we'll be using all wearables. Of course, if you talk to technologists, and eventually we won't have cell phones at all. We'll all be just wearing our phones in some type of form. So I think it's exciting time.
Yeah, I hear from you guys and from the you know, the Microsoft Seeing AI team that it's the number one request that users have. How do I make it hands free? You know, they want to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you know that usually one hand is on our cane, or if you've got some, yep, some luggage, then
it's the
out of hands you know, problem. Yep. Right. So what are the requirements? How can users join one of these pilot programs? You know, if somebody in the, I don't know, in the UK has the Meta Ray-Bans or the Arx Vision, what's the way to get involved? Are there any minimum requirements?
There's no minimum requirement. You just go to the Aira Explorer app under the More tab. There's a smart glasses button, and then just choose which one you want to be a part of. I think you can choose multiple. So if you think you're gonna have both, you can choose both. And as soon as we are ready to deploy, you'll be one of the first ones using it. So and we will notify you, and you'll be able to start using it. That's where we're at right now. I don't have any other information, but that's how simple it is. And basically, we're just building that list of explorers that are ready to go, and hopefully we'll be able to deploy very soon.
And what kind of feedback will you be looking to gather from explorers who participate in these pilots?
Oh, we definitely want to hear from explorers on the ease of use, the ease of setup, how they are able to are they getting accurate information from the visual interpreter? Is the visual interpreter able to communicate with the explorer, telling them what's in front of them and giving them that visual information? Is it clear, concise? Those types of feedback is definitely what we're looking for. And we're even, you know, kind of excited to see if we can incorporate the Access AI as part of the wearable. So you could, you know, point at your camera and take a picture and get the image verification as well. So kind of where we're at, it's just starting, and so we're kind of looking at limitless of where it can go.
Right. And what will the feedback channel be? How will you address concerns raised by trialists?
We haven't worked that quite out yet, David. I'm sure that we will definitely, you, the feedback after the end of each session, there is a rating system and a feedback comment area where you can put in comments. We may decide to incorporate a Slack channel and allow anyone that's opted in to be able to communicate through a Slack channel. We may try to look at email and getting information that way through our email groups list. So there's kind of different ways that you can get that feedback to us. And then, of course, you know, you can always call customer care and give them their feedback too.
And we will have more from Dave's conversation with Everett Bacon from Aira a little bit later on in the show.
If you have a technology question, why not ask the Tech Talk team? Email now, techtalk@rnib.org.uk, or tweet at RNIB Radio using the hashtag AskTechTalk.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. This is Dave Williams reporting from Site Village 2024. Of course, 30 years of Site Village this year, which we're all celebrating together here in Birmingham.
Now, I've come to Seeing Solutions, and I'm with Alex Ward, who is the technical director at Seeing Solutions. Alex, welcome in to RNIB Connect Radio. Just give us a very brief overview of Seeing Solutions, the products that you offer, and then we're going to talk about a fascinating mobility product. But just give us that overview to start with.
Yeah, thank you ever so much. So we're Seeing Solutions. We've turned 20 years old this year. So we've been around for a little while. People might know us as PamTrad, but we are trading as Seeing Solutions, which is a bit easier for people to spell. So we're based in Nottingham, and we've just opened the first low vision tech shop on the high street. It's the first in the country.
And that's in Nottingham?
That's in Nottingham, right in the centre. We are open for walk-ins. People can come and try tech. No pressure to buy anything. It's just a place where people can come and try things out, see what works for them.
Well, we're going to have to come along and have a little visit.
You're more than
Alex. That would be fantastic. And if we come to your shop on the high street in Nottingham, what might we find?
You will find everything from magnifiers, reading machines, opticals, talking watches, keyboards, everything like that. We've got phones, we've got daily living aids, such as pens, bump-ons, and talking products like scales and that kind of thing. And we have 3D printing facilities, so if you need anything customized, we can make customized plastic parts, and we have a repair shop for technical products as well.
Goodness me, that really is full service, isn't it? And you're in quite a lot of areas there, obviously talking products and magnification products and some tactile things there as well. And it's really tactile, in particular haptics, that I wanted to focus on with you, because you've got in your hand a product called Mini Guide, is that right?
That's right, yes. Yeah. So Mini Guide is a product we've been selling for a while now all around Europe. Incredibly popular. It's made in Australia, and it is, as the designer calls it, an ultrasonic torch. It sends out a cone of sound and will vibrate to tell you if anything is in that cone. The closer it is, the faster it'll buzz.
Should we give it a go?
Yeah, absolutely. All so right. I'll put it in your hand. Under your thumb is a button.
So this is about the size of, I would say, about the size of a box of matches, maybe. And at the front, there are two kind of circular areas. I guess they're the sensors, are they?
Yeah, one's a transmitter and one's a receiver. So.
Okay.
And then on top, I've got two more circles. The front one, I think, is a push button.
That's the power button, and it's the only button. The other one is the logo. But just as a way to center yourself to it.
And then at the other end, there is a lanyard as well, so you could kind of put that around your shoulder so that you don't drop it or something like that.
Absolutely.
Let me try that. Hang on. Let's go for the full experience here. Right, so it's just around my shoulder now. Right, so actually it's just around my upper arm, but there we go. Right, so I've got the Mini Guide in my hand and I'm pointing it forward. And so I just press this front button. There's only one button.
And it will turn it on.
Yep, so I pressed it. I felt one little haptic, and now I'm feeling lots and lots of vibrations in my hand.
So it's feeding back that there's something in the way, and it's not safe to move forward. So you can scan it left and right.
Okay, so I'm just going to rotate on the spot to my left. Okay, so now it's clear in front of me.
So you can move forward, and you know
let's try that. Okay. I'm also holding the microphone, and I've actually tucked my cane away. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I felt vibration, so I've stopped. Okay. Yeah, so I like that. It's good resolution, isn't it? As you're going to get nearer and further away. So what's the range on this then, Alex?
You can change the range on certain presets. So you go from half a meter, 1, 2, 4, and up to 8 meters. In distance.
Yeah.
Now it's key that it's a secondary aid. It's not a primary aid. It doesn't replace a white cane, a long cane, or a guide dog. But if you're in a familiar space, such as a restaurant or a shop, then if you need to navigate around without bumping into something and you don't want to use your long cane, then it's a great secondary aid to be able to do that.
Well, and also, you know, obviously if you're holding it at the height of your upper body as well, because your cane's not going to pick up obstacles at kind of chest height or higher.
That's right. So it will pick up at 2 meters range, it's going to pick up about a meter and a half in height. And if you're holding it at chest or waist height, then you can use it with a white cane. You're going to pick up any overhanging branches, any signs that are in the way, or even, someone said to me the other day, a van where your cane would go underneath it. Yeah. But it will pick that up before you get into trouble.
And how do you deal with the not enough hands problem? You've got a cane, or you might be carrying some luggage or something like that. Sometimes I find, you know, all these extra things that I have to hold. I mean, right now I'm, you know, as I just mentioned, I've got my cane tucked under one arm and the microphone, and I'm holding this in the other hand.
Yeah, so there's a cane clamp available for it.
Ah, okay.
You can attach that to the top section of your cane, mm-hmm. And then it will just slot in and out of the clamp.
Yeah.
So if you want to use it with your cane to walk with, slot it in, and it'll be at the perfect angle to move forward and detect anything that might come. Mm-hmm. If you want to then remove it from the cane and use it on its own, you just pull it out and carry on using it like that.
Now, obviously, this is battery powered. Can I change the battery myself, or does it recharge? Or
specifically, it's not a rechargeable battery. The reason being, if you're using it and the battery dies, you're not necessarily in a position to charge it back up. Yeah. So it uses an internal, a replaceable CR123 battery. It's a little camera battery. And they're about £2 or £3 online. The battery lasts 100 hours on vibration. You've got an audio output on there as well, and if you're just using audio, there's 1,000 hours battery life.
Oh, wow. How do we hear the audio?
Right. Most of the time, you'd plug in an earpiece or a set of headphones,
right, okay.
And you'll get either a chirp, which is in line with the vibration, or you can get a differing tone like you get with a metal detector, that kind of sound.
Right. And are those are kind of old school, like a 3.5mm jack?
3.5mm jack. It's a mono jack. The other thing the headphone jack can be used for, just quickly, is connecting a remote switch. So if you have a wheelchair user with this attached to their wheelchair, to be able to turn it on and off if they have dexterity issues, you can use a push button as opposed to finding the button on the top of here.
Yeah.
So there's lots of advanced features that are hidden in quite a simple package.
I'm also thinking of the lowly blind exhibitor at a Sight Village event. You might have this on your table, and so you would know if somebody's walked up to the table.
So a use case someone said to me is sitting at a bus terminal and waiting for their bus to come in. Mm. So they pointed out at the bus stand. And as soon as the bus pulls into the bus stand, it'll start vibrating.
Yeah, because I mean, in some environments, you would hear somebody approaching, but obviously in a very noisy environment, it's not always easy. So
that's right.
Can we have a little hear of the sound?
I'll get the speaker now.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Right, so that's the speaker plugged in. Now, normally this would be a set of headphones, so this is just for demonstration purposes.
Yep.
But I'll turn it on, and then as people walk past, you'll get some chirrups. And you might be able to hear, the closer it is, the faster it beeps. So that's the noise you get through the headphones.
There you go. Maybe a bit of advance warning that your pizza delivery has arrived.
Indeed,
or something.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, Alex, this has been fascinating, and I really appreciate you you taking the time. Can you just tell us the price and where we find out more?
Absolutely. So the mini guide's £300. The optional clamp is £45, and they're both available on our website or in the shop. So the website is seeing.solutions. No co.uk or anything like that. It's one of the new ones.
Okay, yeah.
So seeing.solutions, or you can give us a call on 0115 981 6636. Or stop into the shop on Greyhound Street in Nottingham.
Alex Ward from Seeing Solutions, thank you so much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you ever so much.
Mini guide there from Seeing Solutions, and thank you to everybody at Sight Village who was very generous with your time. We do appreciate that here on Tech Talk. Jackie, Huber, have either of you tried any of these devices that give you haptic feedback when you get near an obstacle? There's been a few of them over the years. I remember Buzz Clip. I think there's something called Ray from an Austrian outfit. And we heard their mini guide, which is a handheld that will vibrate when you get near an obstacle. Is this something that you would like in your toolkit, that haptic feedback about obstacles, particularly head-high obstacles that our canes don't pick up?
Not really for me personally. I have tried the Ray, and I've tried, obviously, the Ultra Cane was a device, you know, a cane with some electronics on it that went back quite a while now. And I've tried that, but to be honest, I just prefer my good old no jab cane or a long cane, whatever it is. I'm not sure, because I think you get a lot of interference from some of these. You know, you get a lot of other vibrations, not just when you're heading towards something you shouldn't be heading towards or you're going to crash into. But I think there's a lot of other sort of vibrations that go on and maybe aren't relevant. And I just find it a bit confusing, if that makes sense.
And what about you, Hubert? We've got this famous tree on Pentonville Road that sort of leans over at a bizarre angle. And if you're in a bit of a hurry, you could clump it with your head. Would a haptic or vibrating device that warns you about head-high obstacles not be useful for you?
Yeah, I think that famous tree, my head certainly has had an encounter or two with it. I think I'm in two minds over this. I think when it comes to these sorts of obstacle detection devices, I think the concern for me is sometimes, I know from my experience, obviously, of using a cane, there are sometimes things that you look for, such as landmarks, that can be perceived as an obstacle by the device. Rightly so, I guess, because that's what the device is looking for. But it could be actually an obstacle that you want to find with your cane to maybe square off against, or, you know, to help you navigate something. But also, when it comes to head-height obstacles, I think these sorts of devices could be very useful, because obviously if the cane doesn't pick it up, then, well, your head probably will. So it'd be kind of good for these devices to pick up on these. So I think it's a mixed opinion on this from me, but I think it might be worth a try and see if that works kind of in your personal situation when it comes to these devices.
Yeah, I'm just not sure anyone's really quite cracked it yet, you know, with the resolution, because you want the vibrations to increase in intensity, presumably based on proximity. We heard last week, of course, WeWalk version 2, they've got something similar going on with their sensor as well, that tries to detect obstacles that are above ground level. So I'd be curious to know from you at home, what do you think? What kinds of feedback would you like, and what have you tried when it comes to those devices that aim to give us haptic feedback about head height obstacles in our environment? You can, of course, write to techtalk@rnib.org.uk, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Jackie Hubert, thanks a lot.
And we now return to Dave's conversation with Everett Bacon from IRA.
Well, at the risk of using the V word, what's the vision, you know, for you when you think about AI and that human visual interpreter service that IRA offers? You know, where would you like this to be in 3-5 years time? What sorts of tasks do you expect to be able to do that are just really tough right now?
You know, I think the whole seamless way of living your life and navigating and getting that information, whether it be through the AI, through the human, or together, I think that's where we foresee this going. We have no intention of stopping the human aspect of our service. We fully believe that a human visual interpreter is something that we're very proud of. We think it's important that professional visual interpreting that our agents give, we believe that's unmatched. And so we don't have any intention of stopping that. We want to see the AI be able to not only help the explorer and getting information that they need through the AI, but we also want to see how the AI can be incorporated for our visual interpreters to be able to get that information to our explorers quickly, seamlessly, and kind of just, you know, the whole where ChatGPT going is this whole conversational type of back and forth that we've seen. We think our AI service can do the same. We know it will, and we're kind of excited to see where it can go with being out and about. Like, could you just be walking about and saying to the interpreter, call an Uber, and I'm seamlessly running through the airport, finding out where the coffee shop is, all of the things that we've talked about for years. We're excited to see where that can go and where that can develop.
You mentioned earlier that the Build AI initiative is currently limited to the United States due to the requirements of your partners. Do you expect that to always be the case, or are there plans to expand similar programs internationally?
Absolutely not. We definitely will expand it as soon as we're able. And if we release any type of new AI that we get from this partner, it will be for everyone. It won't be where we only release a new product to the U.S. We were put some strict requirements to be able to do this test and be able to get information to our partner. So that's kind of we're kind of handcuffed by that, but we don't foresee anything that we release out into the public of a better service. We will release to all. It will not just be to US. Yeah,
and that's something I hear quite often, that technology like these large language models are very heavily skewed toward English users, and thinking about that global audience and blind and low vision folks around the world, I guess there's going to be some work to do to ensure that everybody benefits, right?
Definitely. I mean, and I hear from the UK explorers on a regular basis, and also explorers from around the world. But I definitely hear from my UK friends that are explorers. And I definitely want to be able to provide a service that is for them as well as anyone in the US. So that's something that's very important to me. I've opened up a dialogue with UK explorers where we have a monthly call where I get to hear feedback from them directly. And I'm going to continue that. We started that this month and we're going to continue it. And so that way they're giving us feedback directly on a monthly basis. And I really enjoyed the feedback that they give us. They're passionate explorers. And so we want to make sure we have a product that is for them as well.
So any IRA explorers listening to this, Everett, how can they join in with that monthly call?
Oh, send me an email. My email is Everett, EVERETTE, at IRA, AIRA.io. And send me an email and we'll get you on that list.
Fantastic. Well, I really appreciate you joining us here at RNIB Connect Radio to share those exciting innovations, and of course the Access AI feature, and when you're in an IRA Access location, or even just that 5 minutes every couple of days is completely free. So you may as well just go ahead and download the IRA app to your device. That's AI.
Can I also mention one other thing that we didn't get a chance to talk about? So price increases. People have wondered, is IRA going to increase their prices to subscribers? I was really excited to announce it on July 2nd that we are not going to increase any prices. So if you had a current plan that you've had for quite a while, that plan is going to stay the same. Those are what we called our legacy plans that we've had in place for quite some time now. Those plans are staying the same. They're not increasing. We don't foresee that happening anytime soon. We guarantee all of 2025 they will stay the same and they will stay in place. If you have signed up more recently, we call these our metal plans. They're basically a silver, gold, and platinum level plans. Those plans are also, we're actually decreasing the price of those, because we're adding minutes to all of those. So those plans will go up by an average of 10% of minutes per month. So if you had our most basic plan at Silver, where it's like 15 minutes, we're adding 5 minutes on to that. So now you have 20 minutes and so on and so on. So if you went up to one, some of the higher plans, it goes up a bit more and you're going to get more minutes. And we're not increasing the price at all. The price stays exactly the same. So we're pretty excited about that. And I think that's really important for our listeners, your listeners there in the UK to hear, is that we're not increasing prices at all. All of the plans stay the same, and even the metal plans get more minutes.
And that detail with those extra minutes, is all that live on the IRA.io website?
Yes.
Excellent. Yes. Okay, so if people want to go and check which plan they're on and how many minutes you can get, and that, of course, is if you have a paid subscription. I know many people like to use the Access Locations and the Access AI and the other free options that are also available from IRA. Well, yes. Everett Bacon, Vice President of Blindness Initiatives at IRA, and again recently elected as second vice president of the National Federation of the Blind. I really appreciate it, you joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here. I always enjoy speaking with you.
Thanks a lot. You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio from Sight Village Central, and I'm with Orbit Research, who produce a range of more affordable, refreshable Braille products. You may, of course, have heard of the Orbit Reader 20 and the Orbit Reader 20 Plus and the Orbit Reader 40. But there are other products on the way, and here to tell us more is Adi Krishna. Welcome in. How are you?
Hello, thanks for having me again.
Excellent. Well, it's good to welcome you back, and always keen to catch up with you guys. We should probably talk about, I guess the elephant in the room, first of all, which is distribution, because RNIB now are no longer selling the Orbit Reader displays, still selling the Orbit Writer, of course, and offering support and maintenance. But in terms of displays, you're going to be announcing something new fairly soon.
Yes, so we are happy to report that there are a number of new distributors coming that will distribute all our range of devices in the United Kingdom. That will include both the sales aspect as well as the repairs and maintenance and support and general service aspects across the country. And more information will be announced very soon, so stay tuned. But these will be some very known names that all of us know and appreciate, and we are sure that you're going to be in good hands starting from the middle of this month, more or less.
Excellent. And the Orbit Reader really has kind of met the objective in terms of disrupting the price of refreshable Braille. Lots of companies obviously reflected on their own pricing over the last 10 years or so. So in that sense, it really has shaken things up quite a lot.
Yeah, it did. And it's keeping upgraded, and it's getting more and more reliable, which is the first thing that's the most important one. When we first started, the technology was brand new, so things needed to be smoothed out, and we have kept working on improvements and releasing both new products as well as tweaking the underhood of the existing stuff that we currently have in order to provide a better experience that is more reliable, so that you'll be able to count on it for a very long time. And we hope that we're continuing to go in the right direction.
A product that has received quite a lot of attention, that has been promised for a long time, is Optima. And Optima is a full Windows laptop with a QWERTY keyboard, but an integrated Orbit Braille display just in front of the space bar. Where are we up to currently with Optima?
Yes, so the Optima, which is a joint product, it's from a joint venture between Orbit and myself that we call Access Mind, and the product was supposed to be out this year, but due to the ongoing conflict in Israel at the moment, which I come from, the work on the product needed to be suspended for a good while, unfortunately, because it was impossible to work and it's still pretty difficult. We're just now starting to get up to speed. So unfortunately, the delay has been quite significant. Right now, we expect it next year, early next year. I won't go into the exact release date until I'm absolutely sure about it because of the situation, but it's expected to be next year. So far, we made improvements, though, so we have decided on a final keyboard based on customer feedback. We've changed our panning keys. We've added thumb keys. We slimmed the design down a bit. So, and we're also now working on the piezoelectric braille version for people who don't want the Orbit display. So things are moving, just unfortunately due to unforeseen circumstances, not as fast as we were hoping for. But the project is not going anywhere. It's still strong and it will be strong.
Let's talk about Orbit Speak.
Yeah, so Orbit Speak, another of our promised products, which is finally getting launched. People have been waiting for this, so we are shipping on the 22nd of July, our first release. So there are two models of the device, a basic model and an advanced model. The basic model is essentially your Orbit Reader 20 or 40 with speech capabilities. So you have a basic editor that supports text and braille files, a calculator, a calendar, and a file manager, alarm, some other small functions.
Can we hear it? There's one on the table here.
Yeah. It's in front of you, and it's in a nice turtleback case.
Editor, E, 2 of 7. Media player, M, 3 of 7.
So Dave
manager,
is now browsing through the main menu.
That's a list of apps that are on there, and we can hear that vocalizer, Samantha Voice. Very responsive, actually, Adi. I have to compliment you on that. I like the fact that it is very quick to respond to key presses.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we have been working on the latency part very strongly, as well as on the software in general, to make sure that the user interface and the ease of use of the unit is simple and that it performs as we expect it to perform. So we switched to vocalizer. That's one positive change that we've made. We have done quite a bit of restructuring internally at the moment, so the product is getting ready to ship, and we hope that users will find it a pleasant experience. The advanced model will also have features like library access and so on, but these features will start coming out in the next 3 months or so. So if you purchase the advanced model now, you will get these features once they become available automatically, but in the beginning, the experience is going to be similar between both models.
Okay.
And because it's a software difference, it'll be possible to upgrade from one to the other.
Right, now for anyone who's not seen Orbit Speak, it is about the size of one of those plus-size smartphones. So something like the 15 Pro Max or something like that. It's that kind of form factor. It has a Perkins-style Braille keyboard on there with arrow keys in the center. So basically the keyboard that we're familiar with from Orbit Reader and also the Orbit Writer. There isn't a Braille display, it's just speech output. Clues in the name, Orbit Speak. You've got a number of connectivity options, I notice, around the edge. There's a USB-C port, and you plug in headphones as well.
Yeah, and an SD card slot on the front. Mm-hmm. And you also got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So.
Excellent. Who's this for, Adi? Who's going to be using the Orbit Speak, do you think?
Primarily, first of all, people who have been using and enjoying the Braille and Speak before and need that kind of solution, you know, that you can just put in your pocket, quickly take and write a note and close. That's number one. Number two, people who are good at writing Braille, but reading might be difficult for them due to various reasons, whether it's a physical impairment or something else, but they are very comfortable in typing Braille, so it will be good for them too. And anyone who, you know, needs a starter into the Braille devices world and wants an affordable, easy to use solution.
Have you announced UK pricing information, or is that still?
That's coming soon by our new distributors, so stay tuned for that.
Is there anything I've not asked you that you'd like to share at this point?
Actually, we're also launching a QWERTY versions of our Orbit Reader displays. So we have the Orbit Reader Q20, I'm giving it to you right now, and also the Q40. So the same experience that you know from the Orbit Reader 40, actually, but with 20 and 40 cells and a QWERTY keyboard instead of the Perkins keyboard. So that also has been launched now, and pricing will be announced by our UK distributors soon as well.
Well, I've just switched this on. It says, how old are you, sir?
Yeah, somebody was trying earlier, one of the volunteers was trying to type, and they were amazed by the fact that whatever you type is displayed in Braille, and they wanted me to read to see if I understand correctly what they entered. So it was a funny.
Do you hear from people using these devices as a way to communicate with somebody who is deafblind?
Yeah, we actually also have a solution for that. We have an Orbit Chat application for Android. If sighted folks have Android, they can install it and then use our Orbit readers to chat directly with a deafblind person. And that has been working quite well, too.
Excellent. Well, Adi, for listeners who want to find out more about Orbit's range of refreshable Braille products and also just products in general, what's the best way to do that?
Good question. So you go to our website, which is orbitresearch.com, or you can email sales@orbitresearch.com and ask for all the data you want, and we'll happily provide that.
Adi Kushner from Access Mind and Orbit Research, thank you for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
We are at the end of another Tech Talk. Thank you very, very much for your company. Good to have you with us. And of course, do like and share and tell a friend and spread it and rate it and all that good stuff. And if you have a comment, a question or a suggestion of something that you would like to hear on a future Tech Talk, then please do get in contact. It's techtalk@rnib.org.uk. But from myself, Dave Williams, Hubert Pavalkovich and Jackie Brown, until next time. Bye for now.
See you next week.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.